Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway.
It's Mike Shope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550. Gonna be that
in an hour. I was thinking about if I would be mad or jealous in the Sabres drought era, which really is just ended.
Yeah.
If all this action were happening and we were just sort of in a lonely state, sitting out here, you know, on a patio, on a deck,
kinda
watching
like it,
everything go by.
Kind of like it almost always was here, even when the Sabres were not terrible.
Yes, but at least there was the occasional, if not constant, complaint that, oh, well, remember when hockey was fun and there were trades and right. Now there aren't any? Because there are trades.
It's
like heavy action yesterday.
It's kind of nuts, yeah. I mean, one of the first things I saw this morning when I woke up was a tweet from longtime hockey commentator Jeff Merrick that said, this is the craziest trade deadline ever.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is.
I think it goes hand in hand with what is happening with some of the players. I think the players are, we talked about this the other day, I think.
Yesterday,
They're getting more empowered. Like it's less of a scarlet letter if you step out of line. For like hockey players have traditionally been sort of, I don't want to put my head up above the horizon here because I'll seem selfish or needy or something, right? So just go with the flow. I'm just here to try my best. Go team. And guys are, I don't know if it's beginning with Matthew Tkachuk a few years ago when he wanted out of Calgary, but his brother just did the same thing. Bowen Byram ostensibly just did the same thing. He said, I don't know that he picked his spot necessarily, but said, I'm not going to resign. You know, we went through this with Reinhart. Like, guys are feeling, I think, more the more guys that do it, the more the realization is that, like, life goes on. Yeah, those fans may be mad at you, but whatever. I'm gonna do what I gotta do.
There's so much to say.
Yeah.
Yesterday for me, it was Kyrou, where I sort of had a light bulb moment. Like, why would you do that? I mean, what is the incentive for the Blues? They just don't want the headache. They don't want the cost of a guy that's, I mean, he did have a down year, as you said.
Yep.
But I think there are sort of, like, non-stat-based factors that somehow have incentivized teams to just move on fast. And Byram is a great case study in this because really, how long ago did we first hear that maybe there were loggerheads with him? Like 2 weeks ago, if that? You know, there was always speculation. The season ends and like, what are you going to do here? But then it became, he wants to leave. And there's a lot of luck in this. I think Kevin Adams would maybe say this. The timing was, I think it seems, ideal in this move for what the Sabres just did as a team, for what Byram just did as a player. I mean, a year ago, I just would have driven him to the airport to get a fourth-round pick or something. Just, I don't want to have to pay this guy. His numbers are terrible. Can I just be done? And then a year went by, and they had 109 points and a playoff round win and everything else, and he was a big part of the success. So apparently he was ready to move on. And here he is today talking about how Chicago, or somebody is saying on his behalf, like Chicago, he always wanted to be there.
Yep.
And then you have Chicago's kind of like a moron team.
Right.
So right. Then it's just perfect.
And you also have today, there's a lot to unpack. Kekalainen said today, I was trying to convince him all year. Right? He said that about Byron.
To stay.
I wanted to sign
him. Sign.
So when he said when the season ended how much of a priority Byron was, I think he was playing cards with the other GMs, because I think he probably would have already had a sense that Bowen Byram was going to want to do what he ended up doing, which is go somewhere where he's going to get paid $12 million a year to be a number one defenseman. But yet Kekalainen, I'm guessing, you know, because you shouldn't make a habit of telling people your objective is to do a thing that you already know is unlikely to happen. The only motivation you'd have to do it is to hope that you're not going to be put in a position where everyone knows you're trading the guy. And maybe you can get a better deal. And so I'm assuming Kekalainen was just blowing smoke when he said that, because I doubt that that changed between the conversations he had. The way he said it today was, I was trying to convince him all year. And if it hadn't worked by the middle of May, I don't know why it would have changed when the season was over.
Because, you know, just to play it out, they did so well. And, you know, vibes, right?
Yeah,
we want to think that the Sabres are now a vibes team. And, you know, come on. We'll pay you a lot of money. You just won't be number one. And, you know, Kekalainen, you're going to have to maybe, I'm not sure you'll want to. Anybody's welcome to try to rein me in. I have Seinfeld on the brain. Last night on ADP Chasing, Seinfeld came up, and I botched it, but I brought up, we're talking about Brandon Ayuk.
Mm-hmm.
And now if Brandon Ayuk just sort of like set foot on the 49ers practice field, that would mean he's sort of like officially back, and then they would cut him immediately, and, you know, then that would be resolved, but he won't do that. And it reminds me of a Seinfeld where Kramer goes to work at that store, but he wasn't hired. He's just doing it for fun or something. If Joe's listening, he'll straighten me out here. And it's my favorite line in the history of the show, where the manager's across the desk. He's like, we're going to have to let you go. And then Kramer says, I don't even work here. And the beautiful favorite line of mine in Seinfeld history is when the manager responds by saying, that's what makes this so difficult.
Right. Right.
And so, like, you know, maybe Kekalainen, to you Seinfeld again, and I know this, has the show ever sounded older? I don't know if how actually relevant Seinfeld still is to people half my age. But there's also a Kramer storyline where it's Elaine's boyfriend and he's a psychiatrist. And mm-hmm. he's in that dark room. And what? Kramer is trying, on Elaine's behalf, Kramer is, I don't know. Kramer's trying to talk him out of going out with her or something like that. She's trying to break up with him and she's using Kramer to do it.
Yes.
And Kramer's having no luck with this guy. And, you know, the guy says something like, I want you to tell her this. And Kramer sort of hems and haws. And the guy goes, you can and you will. And I think that might be Kekalainen.
Right. Yeah, maybe.
So it took me a minute, but
yeah.
I feel like I'm a little bit giddy.
While you're sorting yourself through that and maybe catch your breath.
Uh-oh.
We're, I think, bracing for this. Elliot Friedman is reporting Tuck is being traded to Washington.
Fine.
Says, not sure how the pieces will fit, but Tuck to Washington and signing 8 by 10.5.
When Elliot Friedman tweeted an hour and a half ago that was likely to happen, I took that to mean it was going to happen
right.
By 3 o'clock.
It looks like that is happening, yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know I wouldn't expect any reason to be excited about the return, but they'll get something, right? I mean, mid-round pick is probably what you're looking at here. I doubt it's anything that's going to matter.
I did want to ask you or Paul about one aspect of that, which is, does Tuck, as a member of the Sabres, as it is not yet July 1st, before this trade is consummated, do he and his agent get to negotiate with Washington? Like, somebody must tell Washington whether he would do it. And then if he wouldn't, then there is no trade.
I'm not sure how the order of that works, because it is a sign and trade is how we say it. But I think really it's a trade and sign, because Washington, if they acquire his rights before July 1st, they can then do the 8 years, right? That's how that works. So it's not like the Sabres are the only team that until he's on another team and his rights are traded, they're the only team that can do that. But now Washington can do that. So, yeah, I think the negotiation happens directly with the team acquiring the player.
It's the most exciting trade deadline ever. It's the most exciting July 1st ever. And it's June 24th.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, here we are. 803-0550. Byram is gone.
Byram is gone. Jordan Greenway.
Greenway is gone.
Do we want to spend just a minute with all of this unfolding last night like it did? Because it felt like it just sort of kept getting better. Although, I mean, the lead of it was the fourth pick was right away. The first tweet I saw involving this deal potentially happening said the fourth overall pick. Like, so that's a hell of a lead. Like, holy cow, right? And then it's like, there's more. But I thought that might be more coming back than going out. And then next thing I hear is it's Greenway. They're going to take the Greenway contract. And I like Greenway more than maybe most fans did, but still, I mean, $4 million is
you don't need him.
It's great at this time of the year to free that up. They need another big guy on the fourth line. Go find one later. They're out there. So that's great news. And then, oh, the guy that's coming is 6'8 and led the league in 100-mile-per-hour shots last year. Like I don't know. Like, I think that's a third-pair guy probably, on this team. I don't think that's a Byram replacement or anything. I don't think they have a Byram replacement in the organization currently. But it just was so cool to have a trade sort of just each layer of it. There was no, it was all just... Yeah.
It was not the confer.
Yeah.
There was not the confer angst.
Right. The Zadorov or like whatever.
There's going to be more here. And right. You sort of sit back.
Yeah. So that was awesome. Yourself. So now what? Right. I mean, I'm thinking, I mean, the fourth pick, it's a great haul. I mean, I think they killed the Blackhawks in this trade. Even if Byram does become exactly what they're dreaming of him becoming, they've done great here. Because this guy was not going to be with them anymore long term. They could have rented him for the year, I guess. I think I brought that up yesterday as an outcome that I wouldn't have been, terrified of necessarily, depending on what else they did. But they
him around.
Yeah, yeah. But they don't. They do great in the trade. They unload some salary. The fourth overall pick. What? Like, I haven't even been thinking about who's at the top of the draft. The Sabres were picking 27th, and they were picking 20th, and now they're picking 4th and 20th. But for me, as valuable as the 4th overall pick is, I feel like it's much better turned into something that is immediate. Because I think as good a player as they can pick at 4, and they probably can pick a player that will be maybe even great at 4, it's not helping them right now. I doubt that guy is stepping into the NHL and playing, meaningful top. Like if they wanted to draft one of the defensemen at the top here, am I drafting Matthew Schaefer? No. I mean, that was one overall. I think whoever they pick will probably not help them right away. So I'm all about, all right, is 4 too much to pay for Matthew Nyes, or is it just perfect? Do I not have any sweeteners at all? Can I just do that one for one? Can I get Dylan Larkin on the phone? Get Tage Thompson recruited? I want to spin 4 into something immediate, because as cool as it would be to have another hotshot young guy, man, my cup's pretty full in that department, and I need to now replace Alex Tuck, if indeed he's gone.
Which he is.
He's regardless of this trade, I mean, Kekalainen slammed the door shut on that. So I got to replace Tuck and Byram now. And maybe Byram is the focus, and they feel like the kids maybe will be enough. Because, I mean, Kekalainen is right there to mention the kids after saying, Tuck, we're not probably not going to be revisiting this. But that could be just GM smoke, too. I mean, who knows? But I think he's got to be working on something big with 4-20 in his pocket now and a team that should be treated as a cup contender. I feel like those picks can turn into something really cool here in the next few days.
Well, I'm optimistic. I'm certainly open to that. I love draft picks, and I don't think I would hate it necessarily if they just used the draft picks, because there's also the potential to do more next week or in trades. Like, you still have other, you know, opportunities here in theory. But I am just really geeked up for what this guy is doing. I just think, I don't know if he was conning anybody after the season about Byram. You know, I mean, if I'm going to give him all the credit, all the respect, the Seinfeld psychiatrist comp, I need his name. You know, it's like, listen, all right, he's talking to Byram, and he knows what Byram is feeling and thinking. And he's like, look, you can be in on it, all right? I'm going to talk about our future together, and I'll get you what you need, as long as I can do it, as long as there's a way to do it. And I could have been lied to right to my face at that press conference, and like, I'm not mad.
Right, no, me either.
I'm just okay. I know this kind of thing does happen, and really what it is my feelings about the player and the trade to begin with. And that's gonna, if you don't like the trade, then you're not as likely, obviously, you're not as likely to be receptive to, like, sort of whatever game you might have been subject to in the last month or so. But I never got all the way there with...
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Byram, I thought a year ago he was a disaster of an idea for some sort of long-term deal, that it was exactly what the Sabres usually would do. But it was interesting to me that they couldn't do it or didn't do it. And my takeaway was, well, they tried to move him and they couldn't, which I don't know. Like, nobody ever told me that, but that's always how it sounded. This is a year ago. Mm-hmm. It's always how it sounded to me. And this really was this week last year, because like, the draft is when you do that.
Right.
And they didn't. And it just seemed like more of the same.
And then they agreed on a 2-year deal.
Yeah. I mean, well, you got to do something if you're going to keep him. So they did that, but Samuelson really tipped the whole thing. I mean, his ascent opened room, not to take credit away from Byram, because he did very well. He improved. I think that's safe to say.
He was a bit, I mean, I treated those four guys as equals. But I mean, yeah, he had as much to do with them dominating from the back end as any of the guys did. I mean, he's not Dahlin, I know, but I thought he was their best player in the Boston series. Best player on the ice. So, I mean, that's impactful. And that's not a guy that I'm eager to part with. But all along, it's like, you got to understand, like, the player has a say in that too. You can't just do everything you want to do. So I think, given the situation that they were in, not really feeling like they're going to be able to keep this guy long term, because he wants to get out of here and go somewhere where he can fly and be free, to get the haul they did is just, it's kind of incredible. I think, like, I was really worried. I mean, I would guess, I mean, the way he's talking, maybe there was some assurance given to the Blackhawks that, like, I will commit to you, I will sign long term. But he's not eligible to do that until July 1st, so they have to do this, you know, without the security of maybe they can agree to it or something, nod, nod, wink, wink. But like, until he's into the last year of his deal, which doesn't happen until July 1, he can't sign an extension. So they had to do that. You know, there has to be some amount of risk there that they won't end up with what they really wanted. That usually mitigates what you're going to get in return. Fourth overall, what? Like, I'm blown away by it. But yet, I want it to turn into something else. So, but it's a great haul.
Yeah, you would love to know how Yarmo pulled it off. What I want a documentary on all these big trades, just exclusive to the particular trade in question. Like, how did the conversation start? Who called whom? Who started it? You know, did he call everybody? Like, look, we might have a problem here with Byram, and sort of sound really sad when he's actually thinking, you know, he's now I'm in a Rounders moment where it's like, you know, just sort of bluffing. I know I've got this, but I have to look like I am beat.
Mm-hmm.
Or does his phone ring off the hook with offers for him? Like, how about San Jose? How about Mike Greer talking about Byram openly, like that he was interested?
Yeah.
But, you know, he basically said Chicago did way more.
Right, we had the ninth pick. They had the fourth. And like that.
It read like he might have been laughing when he was talking. Like, oh, well, we can't compete with that.
Yeah.
So he did, you know, the Sabres did what was best for the Sabres. I don't know. It's really a great moment here with the draft this weekend in two nights, not to mention that it's in Buffalo, actually. But either way, we're right in the middle of all this. July 1st is 1 week from today, and then you have free agency. There's all kinds of more rumor stuff today. Vincent Trocheck.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a lot more in the air, balls in the air today. And I just wonder what fans' impression of Kekalainen is. Like, has he overstepped? Or is he now your new daddy? Is he now your hero? Is this a GM that has basically just taken over your life? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure of the words.
I can't get all the way there yet, because to me the job is not he has not done a single thing yet to make the team any better.
Well, okay. What are the odds that that'll happen?
I think really good, but I need to see it first. But I'm encouraged. I think the fact that he could pull this off to this extent makes me feel like there's bigger things coming, but I'm going to need to see him, because the objective this offseason should not have been, and definitely is not, to see how much I can get for Bowen Byram and can I salvage something for Alex Tuch by trading his rights at the last minute. It's got to be, you know, making this, improving the hockey team. That's the idea here. So they now need a top four defenseman that I don't think organizationally they have that guy at all. Mertka might be still another year away, unless he shows up and is just like, you know, just out of this world. But I mean, he
you can't really count on that.
No, you just not as a cup contending team. You can't. And I sort of feel, to an extent, the same way about, I want room for kids, but I don't want to just open the door wide and say, come on in, I got spots for all of you. Because I'm going to need some veterans, I think, here. So I'm very I'm not at all upset with Yarmo Kekalainen or down on him, but the job is nowhere near done.
Find a Willy Wonka meme where he opens the door and all the kids run in. That's the Sabres.
That's what I'm
opening
thinking.
The door right. to the right. 2026-27 season. Come on in.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to say the easy part is done, but like dumping guys
is always easier.
Is easier than pulling guys in that you think are going to improve the overall here. Like that's the meat of the job here.
Well, I haven't yet really dug in on the fourth overall pick options. And I don't know, maybe something will happen before I get to it.
Right. That's right.
Because
yeah, don't rush.
I didn't expect it to be a big topic. 803-0550 for your thoughts. Yesterday we had Hellebuck. I guess that could still be a possibility. That now we have the Byram trade. Tuch is traded, not officially necessarily, but reportedly, to Washington. So that's over. And whatever else comes along. How much faith do you have? I am teeming with it. I am oddly, very strangely, teeming with faith in all of this. But I'm, you know, I'm gullible. I'm naive. I'm an easy mark. I do get like this. Here's proof. Sometimes I do.
I am also excited because I like the potential for him to get done what needs to be done, but I can't stand and applaud and take my hat off.
They have to do the rest of it first.
Yep.
Lines open for your calls. We'd love to hear from you. Chad DeDominicis, Paul Hamilton today, experts on the subjects. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
We've had a couple of agents tell us, and the players have changed their no-trade list, and Buffalo's off of it now. So that's great news for us. I think we can be a destination. Everybody saw the passion in this hockey market last spring and in the playoffs, and it was incredible. People have taken notice of that. Winning helps. I always say that. So I think those couple things combined, the Buffalo and the Buffalo Sabres are becoming a destination.
Jarmo Kekalainen. Well, okay. You'd like to hear that. Chad DeDominicis expected Buffalo coming up in half an hour. Paul Hamilton an hour and a half away.
Is Dylan Larkin one of the people who've taken you off their no-trade list? That would be pretty appealing to me.
I want to have, in my life, some kind of list like that and be able to change it anytime I want for any reason.
Well, go ahead.
Yeah, what should I make it?
What's stopping you?
I used to have the idea of a Friends Hall of Fame.
Okay.
In my basement. This was my late friend Dean and I hatched this beauty of an idea. Like Friends Hall of Fame. And then every year you have a ceremony and induct like three friends.
Yep.
Nothing like some of these halls of fame that have like 15 people every year because they have to afford a dinner. Like, I don't need a dinner. I want to do it right.
Well, your wife, you do it yourself, or you and your wife could get together and just make a list of places you definitely don't want to go on vacation.
No fly zones.
Like, I'm not interested in going there. Just start a list.
Kind of significant who you pick first. I don't want to be too harsh.
I have an easy 101.
Can it be a place you've already been to, though? It shouldn't be a place you've already been to.
No, that would be that to me would be disingenuous.
Who is on your no-trade list?
For me, like vacation, it simply is I'm never going to go on a cruise.
All cruises.
I'm never getting on a cruise ship.
Which I love.
It is not going to happen. I just don't.
I love cruises.
It just doesn't feel good to me. I mean, potentially. I have no idea what it really feels like because I've never done it. I just don't want to be stuck on a ship in the middle of the ocean with a bunch of people I don't know.
You don't have to go alone. You don't have to go alone.
No, well, I know. I would hope that.
I didn't spend that much time on my last cruise with people I didn't know.
I hope to vacation with my wife, usually for the rest of our lives. I just don't want it. No thanks. So
well,
that'd be easy for me.
I'm not here to talk you into cruises.
Yeah, good.
But I think I would have some success at it just for all the things that I loved about it. But that doesn't mean you would.
No, that's right. It's completely irrational.
It's the boat.
Freely admit. Yeah. No. The hotels should not float. That's it.
Bottom line.
I'm a little freaked out about the whole thing. I mean, I know physics and whatever. I just don't want to do it. Anyway, we need to stop.
What is the... I mean, there's so many different things to talk about right now. What is tops? I think it's got to be that Byram is gone already. You know? And I'm not here to really plant the flag on that because I wanted him gone a year ago. Like, I didn't really ever like this player. And then this year, the team was so good, and he was a part of it, and you didn't hear me railing on him.
It's a big hole. I mean, if I'm going to sit here for the back half of the season, or so, you know, the last 6 months or more, and describe Samuelson, Dahlin, Power, and Byram as a 109-point division-winning team's superpower, that's a hole. I've removed one quarter of the superpower from the organization, and I don't have an heir apparent readily at hand. I've got to go out there and find that. And that it's a little like, for me, thinking about the top of the draft, like we talked about already, like we haven't really thought about, you know, who the guys are because we didn't think the Sabres would be in the territory that they could land one of them. I have not really thought about defensemen, you know, until the news started breaking last week that he was going to, you know, want to move, not resign, because Kekalainen sounded like he wanted to keep him. And like, all right, well, they're going to keep the top four intact. They'll find a third pair guy, and that's fine. So I haven't been thinking about trade targets for the blue line.
No.
And now, I mean, how this is just
Kessel ring too.
Right. I was just gonna say that. Like, how bad was the relationship between him and the organization that a 6'5" guy who can, when healthy, move to me, he could absolutely play like they want to play if he's healthy. I know it didn't happen this year, but I think there is reason to think that that's because he was never really healthy. So you just dump him to move up 7 spots in the draft. I would expect, already knowing that this outcome with Byram was very likely, the Kesslering, if he hadn't been moved, I don't know, we'd be taking our cues from maybe what Kekalainen would be saying, but I'd be telling you, well, that's a guy you can at least try there. Maybe that'll work. I mean, that was the plan last year, and it never got off the ground, and we've been through when he got traded away. We talked about all the reasons that happened. So they've moved not only one of the four guys who were so responsible for how they were able to play and dominate teams at times, they had a potential replacement here. You know, he was an RFA and he was arbitration eligible, so it could have gotten messy, but they already kicked him to the curb too. So they got to go find a Byram replacement. I think that's more urgent, because at least if you don't find a Tuck replacement, which I still would like to do, you do have guys who are NHL ready. That, you know, you can sell me on, well, that's going to be this guy's turn, and hopefully, you know, he's a Rookie of the Year candidate and we don't miss a beat or something. Or one of the three of them comes through, or they all come through. Kulik, Oslund, and Helenius. Now I got to find a top four defenseman who can skate and move the puck and be dangerous. At least if I want to keep playing that way, which I think you should want to do. So that just became, I think, maybe the top priority in the organization, ahead of goaltender for sure, and I think ahead of replacing Tuck.
It's interesting to think that this is Kekalainen's first year at the helm, first offseason at the helm. You know, you take over a new thing, and there are always going to be decisions. Sometimes you're taking over, often you're taking over a team that's at the bottom, and sometimes you get this. He's living well. Like he had a part in this season just by his mere presence, some would tell you, as somebody, as a general manager with credibility, that had value to the Sabres. But then you have the deadline moves, none of which really worked out, actually. Carrick got hurt. I mean, it helped get them into first place.
Yep.
He had a role in that, but then they lost him. And I don't know, Stanley, certainly not Shen.
Carrick's got another year, so you know, Carrick's got another year. Take that for another spin. But
Parayko didn't happen.
It was not impactful at all. He came back probably too soon in the playoffs and couldn't really help them.
I just see this guy, as I've said in different ways, as a player. And that I think he's respected. It seems like he has a presence that maybe helps him make deals, which is possibly this could backfire, but possibly the best trait you could have. I mean, Murray had this trait, but what, he couldn't help himself? I don't know. Like, it didn't work out for him, and he was gone fast. But Brandon Bean has this trait, and I think reviews are mixed right now on Brandon Bean. It's maybe kind of a low point for him since he arrived, but I just like a guy who doesn't wait forever. And it seems to me that Byram was one where only recently did we start to hear, you know, he might not want to stay. And the Sabres played it as we want him. Even through today, we wanted to keep him. And what? He's traded before the draft even happens. He's traded to Chicago. So there's a balance. Any great negotiator, and you know, he's also got to have a public front, has to attain, which is to let you know out here what I'm doing. This is like a politician. Like, this is only, I think maybe you can believe this guy sometimes. Like, this is what I think, this is how I feel, and this is what I want to do. And over here, he's maybe singing a different song to Byram or to different people. Either way, he just already has his mitts on this thing. And for as good as they were, like, Byram didn't have to go. He was under contract.
Mm-hmm.
They won the division. They won a round. He was a big part of it. But, anyway, you're gone. Like, mm-hmm. I like a guy like that. It makes it interesting, and, you know, there's a fearlessness aspect to it. It doesn't seem like somebody who's worried about his reputation or his image. And we've had GMs that were, and they're like Botterill. You know, I think he was just paralyzed all the time. And I don't know if that was just because he was worried about how people were going to talk about him or what it was. But, man, you get a job like this, you better get after it. Why slow play it? Go make the moves you believe in. And he's got to have some, if not a lot, of organizational support to do things like this, whether that's upwards or downwards with Ruff or Pegula, probably both. I'm just edge of my seat.
Yep.
That's all.
Yep. The I'm buzzing through
good,
like, articles that I've had saved for, you know, a couple of weeks. Again, focus. The Athletic has the top 12 or 15 trade, you know, it's a trade board, basically, like trade speculation, guys that you think could be moved or will be moved. And, like, the top defenseman on the list is Morgan Rielly. No thanks. Mostly no thanks. There might be wiggle room there. Darnell Nurse, absolutely out of the question. Like, no way. If you haven't been paying attention, Darnell Nurse had a year where he scored 20 goals out of nowhere, kind of. Like, he's an okay player, good, skates well. But he had a incredible shooting year and signed a $9.25 million a year contract off of that year that Edmonton regretted maybe the second it got signed. And so they're looking to dump him. Nemich just got traded from New Jersey to where? Yesterday or the day before? Calgary. Thank you. That's gone. Like, that would have been a guy that I would have said, like, target him. Young, moves pretty well, could have been a Byram replacement. But that's gone. And beyond that, like, there's not a lot. I mean, there's not a lot. So, you know, that Colton Parayko is down the list here. Mason Lowry of the Bruins is on the list, but that's not a big point producer. Parayko really wasn't last year at all either. I don't know. Maybe they can revisit that and get him to waive. I don't know. But this doesn't mean there's not somebody out there that's not on the list. But there's nothing exciting here that I'm looking at.
Well,
so
it'll look harder.
They're gonna have to do some work here, I think, to find the right guy.
Yeah, within that is if they want to tip the balance of power on their roster a little bit. I mean, obviously they scored like crazy too. They weren't suffering offensively by having these defensemen, but
the reason I said that about Rielly is mostly because him as a one, which is what he's been in Toronto his whole career, like, that was over 2 or 3 years ago. But they were sort of stuck with him. He's got a no move, but he's said to be open to moving it. I think in a not a number one role, he might still be, like, he could land on the Sabres and maybe give you what Byram gave you to some extent. But it's $7.5 million through 2030, which, again, it's not crazy money in today's league, but he's already 32. I just feel like he's in decline. And if it helps you, I think it would be short term, and then I'm going to have a problem in a year or two, probably. But, like, if I ended up there, I got to say I wouldn't hate it. As long, you know, he's not, he doesn't have to be our best guy. He's just got to sort of complement Power and replace Byram to an extent. And maybe he could do that.
Again, if you have a take on any of these Sabres things, 803-0550 is the number. Chad DeDomenicis coming up in less than 20 minutes. Paul Hamilton at 5 today. And we're tracking any other rumor and speculation that's, you know, out there. And there's not a little bit right now. So it's really fun. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog back after this timeout on WGR.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.